Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in 1. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Pro football full circle.
48-yard drive for the win. Good snap, good hold. Kick is no good. But a flag is down in the secondary near the Washington sideline.
It's a 5-yard penalty.
Now a 43-yard drive for the win. Good snap, good hold, kick.
The early line.
The Eagles are maybe the only one that have just some legitimate positive vibes around them. So I think you're absolutely.
Week number 2 is underway. Welcome to Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Sirius Channel 204, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz kicking it around here in the world of the NFL. I tell you what, George, if the Thursday night game is any indication about how the weekend's games will transpire, again, back-to-back weeks now on Thursday night. We saw Dallas push Tampa Bay to the limit 2 weeks ago. We saw the other night Washington win a thriller, an absolute thriller, where Taylor Heinicke steps up, outduels Daniel Jones. And I got to be honest with you, if you're a Washington fan right now, you hand over the keys to the bus to Taylor Heinicke, you say, kid, take us to the promised land.
You know, you throw in the Monday night game, and all the standalone games have been great. Right? They've just been fantastic. They've been exciting. Goff, interesting finishes, to put it nicely, between teams taking weird penalties and Lawrence jumping offside yesterday. I mean, I'll give a second shot at the field goal. But yeah, they've all been very good here. I said it before, I would have gone with Heinicke. Not that I really saw this kind of performance coming, but I just thought he was the better kind of quarterback for the Washington football team. But then again, their defense isn't quite living up to expectations yet, and he did throw that late interception, which is what I thought he would avoid, actually, stuff like that. So it's been a good start for the standalone game, certainly a good start to week 2.
Yeah, when you look at his performance, granted, he basically threw for 161 yards in the first half. In the third quarter, he struggled a little bit, didn't get his rhythm coming out of the break. Fourth quarter comes around, they're trailing, makes some plays, okay, puts his team in a position for the win, and then the terrible interception. And that was as bad as you can get for a rookie or a veteran. It doesn't matter, just a poor look, poor performance in that regard. But what I did like is, after that, he forgot about it. He put it in the rearview mirror and said, you know what? I'm going to make another play. I'm going to step up and lead my team to a victory, because that's what quarterbacks need to do. We always talk about the physical attributes, the arm strength, how tall they are, hand size. The things that you can't measure, just like Tom Brady, and I'm not saying he's like Tom Brady, but what I am saying is the things that you can't measure with Taylor Heinicke is his heart. The kid steps up and makes those players buy into him, and honestly, that's at least 80% of the battle if you want to have a successful team, especially at the quarterback position.
Yeah. I agree. There are intangibles that we can't measure here. I don't know if he's ever going to be that kind of quarterback. I just thought, you know, with Fitzpatrick, assuming the teams were going to be the teams we thought they were going to be, Washington was going to be defense-based, right? That front seven, really good, get up to the quarterback, play a lot of low-scoring games. Fitzpatrick has, in my mind, a higher upside, or did have a higher upside than Heinicke, but also a lower floor, because he'll take chances, be a little bit of a gunslinger, and you know, he'll have games where he's going to throw 3-4 interceptions. Take those chances, and he'll get picked off. And Heinicke is sort of the opposite there. Maybe not as high a ceiling, but a higher floor. Play more of the game manager type, not make the big mistake. Let the defense do their work and look for the big play in the fourth quarter. That sort of thing there. So this is a good start for Heinicke. I'm sure Washington has to be breathing a sigh of relief that they did not lose their first two games of the season at home. That would have been, I'm not going to say devastating, but it would have been brutal. Wouldn't have been a good thing at all to lose those first two games. But it is what it is. Giants, you did lose the first two, but once the Denver... The Denver game's out of conference, so it's not a huge thing. You weren't going to go 6-0 in the division. And now if you're a Giants, you're rooting like hell. The Chargers beat the Cowboys, and the Niners beat the Eagles, and you're only one game out of first place. But you've started off 0-2 now for the fifth straight season.
Well, here's the thing for Joe Judge and the crew. The identity of the offense with Jason Garrett. They were playing very close to the vest. Those are the type of games that the New York Giants, if you're asking me, want to play. Those lower scoring 17-13 type of games. When they had to open it up and Daniel Jones was effective, I'm not taking away from his performance last night. 22-32, 249, one touchdown, also added 95 yards and a touchdown on the ground. But again, you didn't win the football game. At the end of the day, you pounded the rock for 162 on potentially one of the top front sevens in the NFL, and you still came away with a loss. The mental mistakes, the lack of discipline, the penalties that cost your team an opportunity to walk away with a W, you can't have that if you're Joe Judge. And people bought in saying that this was the team that potentially would challenge Washington or challenge Dallas with Dak Prescott. We saw their preseason total at 7. Gotta be honest with you right now. You have major concerns on the defensive side of the ball. I don't know if this team gets to 5 wins in 2021.
They may have had one of the worst training camps of all NFL teams. I mean, we've seen Barkley not being able to come back until late, Galladay getting hurt, Tony getting hurt, the offensive line being a mess, for no better terms of it, although they played pretty well against that Washington front last night. Things didn't go well at all. And you, like I said, you heard Galladay say about 2 weeks of the training camp, we may get the slow start this season. Now, I wouldn't blame it on the offense yesterday. They certainly did not play well. The Lawrence, I mean, jumping off sides there. What are you doing? You have no bearing on the play. None. All right? There's nothing you can do. Just, what are you doing? It's just terrible. That's an awful way to lose.
Mental mistakes. Mental mistakes will cost your team ball games and cost your team a potential playoff spot. When we come back, we'll be breaking down the slate. Week number 2, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, breaking down the slate for NFL week number 2. Talked about the game in Washington the other night. Going to turn our attention to a game we really didn't cover throughout the week, a large spread in Cleveland. Browns at home against Tyrod Taylor and the Houston Texans. 13 is the number right here on FanDuel, -110 either way. Total set at 47.5, George. Juice slightly to the over at -115. Hey, I was dead wrong on Houston and Tyrod Taylor. They abused, and I mean absolutely abused, Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence. He looked like he was back in high school, Urban, figuring out the playbook. But I will say this, Tyrod Taylor stepped up. Brandon Cooks, a solid performance. They go on the road. They're playing with house money, right? Nobody expects Houston to push Cleveland to the limit here. Cleveland did lose a very disappointing game to Kansas City. That being said, and that's your saying, I'm going to lay the 13 points with the Cleveland Browns. Think that they run all over that front seven, something that Jacksonville certainly didn't do in that week one performance.
See, that's my problem there. Wait, exactly what you just said here. They're going to run all over Houston. I completely agree. I mean, it's going to be a shorter game, right? Because I think Cleveland wants to do that. They'll win the game. Any doubt in my mind, they'll probably win it very easily. But covering the 13-point spread when you're with, they're going to want to run the ball left, run the ball right, run the ball. That's just what they do. Beckham's not going to play again. So it's going to take away some from the passing game here. I'm a little nervous about this. Not that I would go any other way. It's either Cleveland, you're either betting minus 13 or you're not betting at all. As far as the game is concerned here. But I can see this being a not quite the high-scoring game because Cleveland wants to establish that run. So they may have gone away from a little bit late in the game versus Kansas City. They got a little nervous when things got close here. We got to put up points up quickly here rather than keep running with Chubb, which is being very successful here. So I don't think this is going to be as, quite as high-scoring as some people believe here, but Cleveland does win the game easy. But like I said, I'm either betting Cleveland or I'm not betting at all. Right now I'm 50-50 on this.
Well, they do have player props for Ingram and Chubb. Chubb is juiced to the over. Well, not juiced, but 81.5, minus 114 either way. 81.5, that's a lot. I would like to have in the area of the 70s because obviously Hunt going to get some carries. Mark Ingram, 36.5. Could he get over that on that front seven? Will Myles Garrett and the crew, even though they're on the road, or is it just, you know, once they fall behind 14-0 or 10-0, we abandon the running game completely and just solely rely on Tyrod Taylor to carry us through? That's the only concern, I think, if you're going to take Ingram. I mean, 36.5. That should, he should be able to do that with his eyes closed in this ballgame.
Agreed. And that's the one I'd be looking at here. But you mentioned the one scenario where he doesn't get it. You know, they do get out to that early 13-0 lead or 14-0 lead, whatever it might be. And then you are passing the entire game. But 36, I mean, I'm putting something on it. It may not be a large amount, but I'll be putting something on this prop. Absolutely. You're just not asking for anything. You think about it, 36.5 for a 17-game season, you're asking him to rush for 621 yards. That's it. That's what the equivalent of 36.5 is. He can do this. I know the Cleveland's a tough front, but I said, you're asking for 9 yards a quarter. Nine yards a quarter. Give me
and FanDuel is a little sneaky how they put up the receiving props because they have Brandon Cooks for Houston, okay? 61.5. They don't have one wide receiver for Cleveland yet, but they have both running backs, Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Chubb at 13.5, Hunt at 15.5. I sort of lean to Chubb at 13.5. He could get that. They utilize him in screens, right? So if you have an overactive front, he could bust that. That's one reception, 13.5 yards. The problem is that they might utilize him ground and pound only and then put Hunt in there in terms of passing situations, right? You hope that Stefanski mixes it up a little. Or maybe you go over on both.
I'm thinking both, actually.
Are you?
You're not asking a lot of yards. Yeah. I would go Hunt over Chubb first. Hunt is the better catcher, of course, yeah, but I like them both. I may not do both. Maybe that's a little ambitious of me and probably not the smart play there. But I certainly like the Hunt prop. He is the better pass catcher. You're talking, you mentioned one. For me, that's two. Two to three catches, he'll get that easy. Yeah, you know, it won't even be a concern for me here. So I'm certainly leaning the Kareem Hunt over there, and the Chubb would be a bad one. If there's a better price, I'd be right on it. But the fact that it's the same price, this needs to be the Hunt, the guy you know he's going to catch some passes.
All right, so we'll start from the top of the rotation, and we'll try to get through as many games. We'll give our best bets. We'll give our player props at the end of the show. We talked about Las Vegas and Pittsburgh earlier in the week. I believe that Las Vegas could be a live dog here. They're catching 6.5, minus 112 on FanDuel. Want to take a shot on Big Bed. They're minus 108, total set at 46.5, minus 114 to the over. I lean to Las Vegas there, and so when I break this game down, I say, okay, what does Las Vegas have to do in this ball game? And I immediately look at Carr, I look at the running game, and I say, all right, are they going to be able to run on the Pittsburgh front seven, or are they going to look to get into a shootout and force Ben to match them score for score? I mean, when you look at Derek Carr right now, his number's 263.5. Minus 114, that is light. I think that is very – those weapons really proved themselves last week. And granted, there were some injuries to Baltimore. But I said it before, I'm not sold on the Pittsburgh defense. I know people can bash me, that's fine. I said that they're actually, in my opinion, going to wear down once the offense becomes inconsistent at the end of the year. I think they can move the football. Las Vegas. So 263.5. I could see Carr getting to 280, 290 in this ballgame.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I think you are crazy. Did they convince you versus Buffalo? That defense played fantastic against
you
the
know,
Bills. Fantastic, on the road against a better offense. All right, now think of all the bad things that are happening here for the Raiders. All right, now you're going to Pittsburgh, their home opener. All right, you're traveling cross country.
Yes.
For a 1 o'clock game. None of this is good at all for the Raiders. And you're not playing a beat-up team. You mentioned the Ravens have injuries. They did. Lost Marcus Peters. I mean, they were receivers are running wide open. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen Sunday. I do not like the Raiders in this game at all.
Even if they're trailing, though, George? So you're saying that the Steelers dominate this ball game? Let's just say, all right?
I'm not betting the under, but I'm not betting the over. I'm not touching Derek Carr. I do, and I lean towards the under, by the way. If I was going to bet Carr, I'd be the under here. The only prop I'm going to like of the Raiders, and it's not there yet, it'll be there at some point, will be, how many catches for Waller. Because I think, once again, the offense is going to flow through him.
What do you think they set that at? 8.5? 9?
It's going to be high. It won't be double digits, but it's going to be high. I don't think it'll be 8.5, 9. I'm hoping maybe more 7, 7.5, somewhere around there. It won't be 6.5. That's too low. But it's going to be high. But that's the one I'm looking at. I wish they would have targets for him, too. I mean, if you go for that, they generally don't do that. One of my favorite props that, once again, you're not going to find today is, and I know a lot of people don't play these, but I like betting the top linebacker to get tackles plus assists. And I think that could be big in this game as well, because I think Steelers want to establish the run game here with Najee Harris. His total is 71. That's too high for me. I was hoping to be in the 60s, and I was going to bet on that, because, once again, he didn't do all that much last week. I mean, he was good, but Buffalo's strong rushing defense as well here, but I think they established the run in this game, and we saw what the Ravens could do on the run against them. I think Najee Harris eats big time here, and I might bet that 71.
Oh, so you think the 71 and a hook is light? He only rushed for.
I don't think it's light. I just think Pittsburgh's going to establish the. I think that their main
purpose
is winning the game.
I tell you what,
they want to establish the run.
If Crosby and that front seven play the way they did in the second half against Baltimore, and Najee Harris can't run, that's going to be a huge cause of concern throughout the year.
Bingo.
That would be then back-to-back weeks against Buffalo and Las Vegas where the running game became non-existent. And then we know long third-down situations, and Ben Roethlisberger turns into Ben Rottenberger. When we come back, we'll be breaking down the other games, including Chicago and Cincinnati, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz, right here on the grid. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Ripping through the NFL week number 2, we were going to talk about the Bengal and Bear game. Bengals are 2.5-point underdogs on FanDuel, but I'm trying to go through as many games as possible that have spreads, obviously, but also have player props. So we'll get back to the Bears and Bengals in a little bit. Let's turn our attention to the Rams on the road, laying 3.5 against the Indianapolis Colts and Carson Wentz. Pitiful performance. George and I both picked Seattle last week. They stepped up. Russell Wilson with big throws over the top, and you saw Stafford on Sunday night just absolutely abuse Khalil Mack and that defense for the Chicago Bears. Van Jefferson with a big game. When you look at this spread, this total actually 48.5. Now it's inching up. I saw 47.5, 48 flats, 48.5 now on FanDuel, -105 to the over, -115 to the under. The spread did open up in the 4, 4.5 region. They bet it down slightly. I said earlier, George, this is the one game I'm concerned about where a West Coast team travels Midwest, East Coast. because of the running game of Indianapolis. We saw Montgomery pound the rock. I think Indy could do that. I think that's imperative for them to win this ballgame. They can't run the football with Jonathan Taylor and that physical offensive line. Forget it. It's going to be lights out. So when I look at the props right now, and we look at Taylor in this matchup, 62.5 to me. Are you kidding me? 62.5 with that offensive line. I know it's Aaron Donald, but they didn't play all that well last week, especially in run support. The first drive, Montgomery ripped off a 55-yard run to put them into scoring position. You're telling me Jonathan Taylor can't eat in this ballgame at 62.5?
No, I'm not telling you.
I'm just saying.
So, yeah, I think I see where you're going with this. And it dawned on me as well. You know, listen, that defensive line didn't look all that great last week, right? Aaron Donald didn't dominate the game. Well, maybe he's angry about that. And, you know, but this is a tougher matchup. The Indianapolis offensive line is one of the best in the game when fully healthy here. I think it'll be close. I don't think Taylor's going to, you know, crush this. He should. He is that kind of running back here. But we also saw Indianapolis sort of go away from the run last week kind of quickly. And that was because game script, they were trailing. I can see the same thing happening here. You know, they can't get into a run game because they're behind again. You know, and I don't think we're going to have much problem scoring if you're the Rams. They're going to put some points up on the board, especially if that pass defense can't stop people getting over the top of them. Right? I mean, we had Tyler Lockett was blowing the roof off of that defense. I think the Rams are going to try the same thing with their guys. You know, so that's my one worry here. So I'm not going to bet Jonathan Taylor. I do lean the over, though, as you're mentioning here. But I'm not going to bet that as far as the prop. Darrell Henderson's at 56.5. I'm not going there either. I probably like more the receiving yards for certain players here. Cooper Kupp, 67. Robert Woods. The problem with the Rams is it seems like you're always trying to guess which is the guy that week. Yeah, this is another one where I might go reception.
Van Jefferson last week, right? It looked like he had a great relationship with Stafford. I mean, not just the touchdown pass and some big plays in the third quarter. He was looking directly at Van Jefferson. Any concern that LA's wide receivers aren't as good as Seattle's? And I know Tyler Lockett's not elite, but when you have DK Metcalf out there, I mean, obviously.
Well, they're not as good. DK Metcalf's a top. Six, top
right.
Seven
no,
receivers.
I know that. And that's my point. I mean, he's dragging double teams, so that leaves Tyler Lockett, that leaves some other playmakers available. I mean, let's be honest. Who are you double teaming on the Rams? Who do you want to take away? I mean, I'm not scared. We always talk about this, and when Holden was on the show, I know he's very high in terms of the LA offense. Okay, great, but the receivers aren't scaring me. Where to worry about one of their guys at all times, like a Tyreek Hill, a DK Metcalf, an AJ Brown. I mean, let's be honest, Andre, they don't have a DeAndre Hopkins type for their wide receivers. Cooper Kupp is good, but he's a slot guy. Robert Woods is good, but he's not an elite. You can't make the comparison that Woods is like DeAndre Hopkins, right? And Van Jefferson's good. He just came on at the end of last year. So you really don't have to double team anybody, do you?
I understand where you're going with it. No, they don't have the prototypical number one wide receiver that you're talking about. They don't. But they have, I mean, Woods and Kupp aren't bad. These are good receivers.
No, they're good. I'm not saying they're not good. I'm just saying they're not elite.
Right. They're not great. Like the guys you mentioned, the Hopkins, the Adams, the Hills of the world. No, they don't have guys like that. But these are good, solid wide receivers here. And, Kupp is the slot guy. Woods is what I would call more the possession guy. You know, it makes a lot of catches, which is what I was going to go with here. They don't have it yet, but I want to see once again what Woods' reception total is going to be. 3.5, 4.5, somewhere around there. And that's the prop I'm probably looking to bet here. More than the yardage types here. I mean, you're not asking for a lot, 62, 67, but I don't know which guy to go for here. I think Woods is going to be that guy who's going to catch more passes. I think he could be a six-catch guy in this game. So that's what I'm going to be looking at here. I want to see what his reception total is when that prop is up.
Do you feel that L.A. runs away with this game? Do you feel like this is a ball game in the fourth quarter? Or are we looking 34-14, in your opinion, what we saw Sunday night against the Bears? Maybe it's close for a half, but in the second half, they just shut down Carson Wentz and that offense, make them one-dimensional, and it's lights out. I think this can be a four-quarter game. It's imperative for Indianapolis to score first. That's why I feel like the running game needs to be a major part of this offense. You need to keep Stafford on the sidelines in this ballgame.
Well, that's what you want to do, right? And if Indianapolis does get behind by more than one score, they're in trouble. They're not. They're really not built now with Carson Wentz to come back like that. So that is what the Rams are going to want them to do. I think at the end of the game, the Rams win the game. I think it is a game where we sort of always knew they were going to win, but maybe the score didn't show that. So it could be a late score by Indianapolis, or maybe the Rams kick the field goal sometimes instead of touchdowns to keep Indy in the game here. But I have this game somewhere around 27-23, 27-21, somewhere around there.
Okay, we'll see how that game plays out. It is a 1 o'clock kick in Indianapolis. This could be one of my best bets. I'm not going to, at the end of the show, we'll rip it off. Just letting everyone know, I did have a good week in the NFL. I've gotten off to a slow start in college, but got back on track. Buffalo on the road, and I am a Dolphin fan. Okay, they get that victory 17-16 over Mac Jones and the crew on the road. Quality win, we talked about it. They were 3.5 at the start of the kick, plus 162 in some books at the start of the kick on the money line. Outright win for Brian Flores. Now here comes big bad Josh Allen, fresh off a loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Light number, George, light. 3.5 total. 3.5 for the Bills, not total, on FanDuel, minus 108. You want to take a shot on Miami, they are minus 112. Total set at 47 and a hook at minus 110 either way. This is going to be a complete domination. Complete domination. I'm telling you, Josh Allen's going to go off. The running game's going to go off. Tua will be happy to throw for 200 yards in this ballgame. Buffalo and the over 47.5. And Josh Allen well over the 291.5 on his passing prop.
My God, you have no faith in your own team.
None.
I don't know why you're saying all this. I honestly don't. I think the Bills do win the game. I think they're the better team here. But I don't think they're going to blow the Dolphins out of the stadium or out of the state, which is what you're saying here.
I think this is a blowout special.
No. This is a closer game than you think. It's a divisional game. I don't see it being a blowout. I do think Buffalo wins. I do. But I don't see everything happening that you're saying. Miami's got a good defense. It's not great, but it's a good, solid defense with a very good secondary. So I don't think Josh Allen's going to have a field day at all here. So you and I are definitely at a disagreement as far as the type of game it's going to be. We both agree that Buffalo's going to win, but as far as the type of game, I don't see it being a blowout special for Buffalo at all. I do think they win the game. I think they might even cover the minus. I'm not betting it, but they might even cover the minus 3.5. I don't know if I love the over either, because I think this could be one of those games where it's 24-21, somewhere around there, 24-20. I think the Dolphins could have trouble scoring touchdowns and set up a field goals, which does worry me some. So I wouldn't take the over. I think they probably lean towards the under here. But once again, I doubt I'm betting that either.
Well, I'll tell you this. It was a good win for Miami. But let's be honest. It was a first-year quarterback making his first start, Mac Jones. We know about the playmakers that New England has. Absolutely none. Right? Absolutely none in terms of the perimeter. What they're going to see from a defensive perspective in terms of Miami, you throw Cole Beasley out, you throw Stephon Diggs, you have Davis, you have the other playmakers, you have Zach Moss, you have Singletary, you have a mobile quarterback in Josh Allen. He was 30 of 51 last week, 271 against the Steelers. I mean, if we're talking defenses, yes, I think Miami is an up-and-coming defense. I love the schemes that Brian Flores, dials up in terms of getting blitz packages to put pressure on opposing quarterbacks. But Josh Allen's going to see that. He's going to tuck it and run. That's big plays in the run game. I really honestly believe that Buffalo scores first, just the way they did last week. They jump up 10-0. I'm not sold on the rushing attack of Gaskins and that offensive line for Miami. I think Miami's going to be put into long third downs. Miami will be lucky, mark it down, to rush for 70 yards in this ballgame against the front seven of Buffalo.
I think the one problem that Miami's made, or mistake they've made over the past couple of years, has been the running game, where they've pretty much ignored it, even when they've had a chance in the draft to take a certain guy. DeAndre Swift comes to mind here. They've ignored it. For whatever reason, they don't believe in it. And I do worry about that. I don't think Gaskins is going to have a good game at all on Sunday. I don't see it. That's why I do think the game will be lower scoring. I don't think Miami's going to be able to run the ball. They are going to be forcing Tua to pass, and he's not there yet. And I don't know when he's going to be there, but he's not there yet where he's going to be this kind of team through the air. You know, they have better weapons, but, you know, it's not great weapons. It's better than what they've had here. So I'm with you there. I think that's going to have a good game. Buffalo wins this game. Give me 24. I'm starting to get even worse now. 24-19. A weird score.
No. It's going to be a blowout special. When we come back, we'll be breaking down New England and Zach Wilson in the East Rutherford, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Ripping through week number two of the NFL, we're going to take a look at New England and Mac Jones on the road as 5.5-point favorites over the New York Jets. Before we do that, Georgie, just want to throw out this stat about the Buffalo-Miami series. Buffalo has won five straight against the Dolphins. Last loss by the Bills did come back in 2018, 21-17 over the Fish. But since that time, let me rip through these scores. 42-17 back in 2018. 31-21. 37-20. 31-28. And last year in January, 56-26. Any concern about the total now?
Nope. You like to go back in the past. And it just,
Look at the body of work. I look at the body of work and I just say, okay, raw stats, where are we? This is trending.
Was two wrong with you in 2018? No. It means nothing. It really means very little.
Right.
The ones last year mean a little bit, but the one in January, Miami's done. They didn't care. Yeah, so January
games always iffy. Isaiah McKenzie had a huge, huge game in
that's
Buffalo.
Right.
He returned
that's right,
a,
he
kick, a punt. Two receptions. He was all over the field in that matchup. So we'll see how that game plays out. All right, let's look at Mac Jones going on the road to face Zach Wilson. Everybody's goo-goo and gaga that Zach Wilson put up two touchdowns in garbage time against Sam Darnold in Carolina. I guess they're turning their attention to week number two. Total set right here on FanDuel, 42.5, minus 115 to the over. If you want to take a shot with New England, it's minus 114. Jets are plus 5.5 at minus 106. Here's the thing. I love Damian Harris's prop right here in terms of rushing total. 75.5 at minus 114. Give me that. And I'll tell you what, from a receiving perspective, I'm going to take a shot on Corey Davis over 52.5. Minus 114, he's the only wide receiver that you could bank on to maybe go through his total. Outside of that, I don't know if one New England wide receiver could even get that in a season, some of their totals in this game. I mean, look at Janu Smith, 30.5, Jacoby Myers, 55.5, Hunter Henry, 27.5, Nelson Aguilar, 46.5. Are you kidding me? They're lucky if they see that for season totals in that offense.
Yeah, you know I agree with you on this, right? New England, they just don't have any weapons. I mean, Bill doesn't believe in them. He just, because this has gone on year after year after year, other than Randy Moss, which was a reclamation project, right? So they got him on cheap and he ended up being fantastic again. They just don't believe in spending at wide receiver. It's an organizational philosophy. Whatever it is, they don't believe the receiver's worth that kind of money. They do believe the tight ends are. They have to spend there. But Henry and Smith aren't – they're not those kinds of tight ends. They're good tight – even good, I think, a little strong. They're solid tight ends. But there's no Waller here. There's no Kittle here, Kelsey. They're not. They're not those kind of guys. So it's going to be tough for Mac Jones. That being said, you're playing with Jets. And, you know, things keep getting worse and worse for the Jets. I mean, they're not going to have Becton protecting Wilson for the next – probably at least 2 months, maybe longer. He's going to have knee surgery there. They have all sorts of issues really on the line in the secondary as well here. I don't see how the Jets make this competitive. I don't. I think Bill has a field day here on defense. And whatever he wants to do here to Zach Wilson, showing him things he's never seen. So I'm not liking the Jets in this game at all. Give me the Pats.
I think it's an under. in the sense, in terms of I like the Pats. I think they do contain that offense because of the offensive line. I think the Jets will have issues running on the front seven. That means long third downs. That means some blitz packages, some mixed coverage, which Bill loves to do for rookie quarterbacks. So I lean that way as well. I'd be shocked if Zach Wilson pulls out this victory, especially with the concerns of the offensive line and the way they played against Carolina. That's going to be interesting. All right, let's get into the last two games. San Francisco and Philadelphia. This seems to be one of the games of the day. Everybody's buying into Jalen Hurts and his performance against Atlanta. I understand it was good, 264, three touchdowns. Here comes San Francisco. Line yesterday was basically 3.5. It's now a flat 3 on FanDuel, minus 110 either way. I have no concern. I'm laying the 3 with San Francisco. I do have a concern with the total, 49.5. I lean to the under. Don't love it, though. 49.5 under, minus 106. You want to take a shot that it goes to 50 or more. That's minus 114 on FanDuel. I'll say this. I think they can run the football at will on that front seven. I know that Mike Davis and Atlanta, they had issues running. I don't think San Fran does. I think Elijah Mitchell, 53.5, all day minus 114. He eats on Sunday.
Yeah, I kind of agree with most of what you said, but the only way my worry is this. We really don't know about Philadelphia. You played a bad, bad team in Atlanta.
I know about them. Their defense was not as good as people thought last year. I think that... Great.
They had a truckload of injuries last year, so you can't judge Green by that. That means nothing.
Their week one performance against Atlanta, was that more the defense, or was that more the inability for Atlanta to actually have a game plan and move the football with mediocre players? I'm just saying.
Well, once again, that was part of my speech before you decided to cut me off again there, Mr. Lisi. Atlanta has issues, right? They were bad. They are really bad. That's what I mean. I don't know about Philadelphia yet because they played a bad team. You know, were you just better than a bad team because you dominated the game? I mean, that wasn't even a game yet. It was a local game here we had to watch. I was like, please put on another game. So, I don't know about the Eagles yet. I'm not going to judge anything they did last year. Both these two teams were the most voodoo doll teams. Every week they lose the players.
Voodoo,
and by the end of by midseason, they were nowhere near close to what they are. So I don't care about last year for either team here. That being said, Philadelphia, I don't know. I just don't. They are at home here. There's no way I would bet on Philadelphia. I do think San Fran is the better team. Once again, you talk about a West Coast team going to East Coast early start. That could play some effect here. But this is a game I want to see both teams, actually. I want to know. I think we'll find out about the Eagles. Are they – I'm not going to say a threat to win anything big, but to stay in the NFC, are they going to wilt against the 49ers? Will the 49ers make Jalen Hurts feel like that – quasi-rookie quarterback he actually is, where Atlanta let him pretty much do whatever he wanted here. It won't be anywhere near as easy for Hurts, and I like the under. I don't think, because of what we're talking about here, I think San Fran is going to want to establish the run, as you said here, and I think they are going to be able to. That eats up clock. And I don't think there's going to be a ton of points in this game. I do like the under.
All right, we'll see how that game plays out. I do like San Francisco. I think they dominate that ball game. I'm not at all concerned about that offense of Philadelphia. I know they moved the football last week. This is a different animal. And with a physical offense and defensive line, they have experience at the quarterback position. And we'll see how it plays out. It's an early kick, too, 1 o'clock. All right, let's talk about the Saints and Carolina. Saints with a dominant performance over Aaron Rodgers. Remember, Aaron, just give him whatever he wants. He's Aaron Rodgers, man. 38-3. He got spanked. In Jacksonville, spanked. He not only did he get spanked on the field, but, I mean, he needs to clean it up. I mean, he looks like he's been hanging out in an alley for a week, I mean, with that press conference. I mean, give me a break already, Aaron. I mean, you clean it up. I know you like the hippie look, but, dude, let's go. New Orleans, 3.5-point favorites on the road in Carolina. Okay, minus 108 with famous Jameis. 5 touchdown passes last week. He did throw for under 150 yards. Okay, but he found those playmakers over the top. I mean, Green Bay looked like they were just didn't know what they even had a defensive game plan for that matter. I will say this. This is my team, though. Carolina, I bought in at the start of the year. They did what they had to do, ground out a victory over the New York Jets. I like Carolina. Don't be shocked if they win this ballgame. Like them plus the 3.5. Like them plus the 150. I think this game trends into the under. But I'll tell you this. I'm all in with Sam Darnold over the 238 and a hook. And in terms of Christian McCaffrey, 64.5 at minus 114. He eats this week as well.
As for McCaffrey, I'm probably, once again, I'm going to wait till I find out his tandem total, rushing and receiving. That will be there. I imagine probably the next 24, 36 hours, certainly something.
Well, they have him set at 43.5 receiving. Minus
yeah, that doesn't. They don't automatically double that. They take it 106. No. I think it was it. So, but all it'll right, be but, it'll be a little over 100 yards. But I want to see what it said. Okay. I want to see what McCaffrey's reception total is at. That's all, because I think that once again, the Saints have a very good defense, top five in the NFL. So I think there's going to be a lot of short passes to McCaffrey. That's how that offense is going to move here. I do not love the McCaffrey rushing prop. I don't, but I do like his receiving prop. I think that's where he'll do his damage here. McCaffrey's a cheat code, by the way. I mean, the man's just incredible. If he stays healthy, he's going to do all sorts of wondrous numbers here. We know that's coming each and every year here. I am nowhere near as high on the Panthers as you are, which we've discussed in ad nauseum over the past month of doing these shows.
Yeah, don't be shocked when they're 2-0. That's all I'm going to say.
I won't be shocked. I still have my doubts about the Saints, too, which is the next talk here. You know, listen, good for you, Winston. All right, you said everything that needs to be said about Rodgers. I'm not going to go back into that. He pretty much had one more fantasy point than I had, and I didn't play. So, you know, with Winston, you threw 5 touchdown passes. You only threw it for 148 yards. All right, so that's really, really lucky that you got the 5. Maybe you end up having a game like that again. Maybe not. It's going to be a more traditional game where he will have to put the ball in the air more. But the defense could dominate again, but not to that degree. Not to that degree. I am not liking the totals. I'm not 40 over 44. I'm not touching that. I do probably lean towards the Saints, but not enough to bet on. This is a game where I just want to watch, and it'll be a prop game for me. It will not be any. I'm not betting the totals. I'm not betting the game itself here. But it's an interesting game because I want to find out. I think we'll find out about both teams here. Jameis, what can you do now? You know, let's see. Are you going to be a decent quarterback again? A quarterback that I liked a couple of years back. Carolina, I know you liked Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold was pretty bad last week. He didn't impress me at all. He just played a terrible team. They played a real team. They lose the game. So I know they scored a couple of touchdowns late, but that Jets defense is terrible. You only put up 19 points. You got to do more than that against most teams. Funny thing is, New Orleans may not be that team. I don't think you need to score much more than 19 to beat them because their offense, I don't think, is fantastic either. But I'm very curious to watch Sam Darnold again as well.
Yeah, I think he puts back-to-back solid performances up. I'm a buyer in Matt Rhule. I'm a buyer in the program in terms of what he's trying to instill with that team in terms of an intensity level. They're dialed in, a younger team now. He weeded the players that didn't fit last year, got the veterans out that didn't want to buy in. And I think this team is headed in the right direction. DJ Moore, anytime touchdown score, plus 200, has some value to me. And then when you look at DJ Moore in terms of his total, 58.5, I like that as well. I mean, 58.5, you know it's the number one target. I know he goes to Anderson. He checks down to McCaffrey at times. But DJ Moore for 58.5, I mean, just because they shut down Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay in week one, now we really start to see the effects of Hurricane Ida, right? Because even though, you know, they're at a facility, they're not home. They're not in their normal environment, New Orleans, okay? And you were able to do that and rally around after the hurricane hit to stay focused. Now we're going to see if this team is dialed in for the long haul because they're not playing home for a month. So you get the win. You're dominating. You're the fan favorites for the NFL for a week. Famous Jameis, they're putting him on a pedestal, carry him through the streets on his throne for dominating that matchup. Now you need to step up and redial it in. We'll see if they can do that, George. I'm not so sure. I really like Carolina on the money line. I think they can strike the upset. You're going to be shocked when Carolina is a playoff team in 2021. When we come back, we'll be talking best bets. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up today's show, we're going to talk best bets. Last week I was 4-1. I hit Carolina, Arizona, lost the Giant total, hit my two props over Kyler Murray, over Mike Davis on FanDuel. We're coming right back to the well. Underdogs. And underdogs big. Carolina plus the 3.5 over New Orleans. The Colts plus 3.5 over the Rams. I'm laying the 3.5 with the Bills. Blowout special. And to that point, over for Josh Allen, 291 and a hook. And Jonathan Taylor over 62.5 rushing total. I don't care that Aaron Donald is the best defensive player in the NFL. We're going to ram it down his throat this Sunday in Indianapolis.
Good for you. Good for you. It's funny. I think you need five bets there, and I'm not betting any of those. Not that I disagree with them. I just don't feel strong enough to put any of my money on them. It's going to be a prop-heavy week for me. I got to tell you, I don't like many of the game totals, which means I think FanDuel has it right, where it's pretty much a 50-50 guess here, and I don't like doing that. My favorite game total would be New England minus 5.5, and I will have that in quite a few teasers to get some points there. I think the Jets are a bad team. They always lose in New England anyway. So I think, once again, Patriots take care of business there. But my favorite bets are going to be on the prop side here. Going to go with Tampa Bay over Atlanta. We've been knocking Atlanta all show. Going to continue here. Brady over 2.5 touchdowns. I really don't see how he doesn't get this. It's at least 3-4. I mean, nothing would shock me there. Atlanta's just a bad team. Evans, they're going to get Evans involved this week. Just like I thought last week, that Antonio Brown and Gronk would both score touchdowns because, once again, first game of the season, Brady wants to get those guys. He wants the Gronk touchdown after the Super Bowl to get the fans energized here. Wants Brown to get into the season to be that kind of receiver he might be able to be again. I'm sure he's looking at what Evans did nothing last week, right? Nothing. He wants to get Evans into the season here. Over 57.5 receiving yards here. Might go over his reception totals as well when they come out, but I'll need to see what that is first. And then I got to pick against my Cowboys here. Cowboys have been devastated with injuries this week. They're not going to have Lawrence. They're probably not going to have Randy Gregory. Chargers over 29 points.
Wow. We'll see how it plays out in week number 2 for George Kurtz and Joe Lisi. That's me. We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend, everyone. Enjoy the games.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.